Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester, and we are with you for another hour here on the show. We're going to, I think, check in from the Wichita Open. We will see if we can get Jay on here or just get some information. He was headed out there and just told me he had an update, so we'll get that update. Either on the air, we'll relay the message. I know it's a crazy morning out there as they're trying to get ready for the Pro-Am, get things ready for fans. We're trying to get ready as vendors for some HTO, which, by the way, you can win some HTO right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. It'll be a free iced tea, good for East or West Wichita or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. You'll be able to come have some HTO with us out there. If you're headed out to the Open, come see us. We'll be out there right by where we're doing radio live. I'll be doing radio and then step about probably 4 feet to my left, although we'll see what happens. I don't know what it looks like out there, how wet it is out there. Because we were, I don't remember, were we on dirt there? Was it grass?
We were on grass, but we didn't have any rain last year. Like, that was when...
I'm saying where we are this year. I've seen that area, but I don't know what it looks like after these storms. I don't even know if our canopy's still up. I would doubt it. That got blown
up. I know we're bringing our own tent for Odyssey and for KFH.
Well, there was. So we were going to do that too, but there's a huge one already there. Now I don't know what to expect. I didn't bring the canopy. I was going to bring it down, and now I didn't bring it because we already had one. I hope that didn't get damaged. Man, there's so much unknown out there. Good Godspeed to everybody with the Open. And just have fun with it, everybody, because we're all kind of in it together, right? We're all just going to have to see what's going on. But we'll get that update from Jay as we make our way through here. We'll also have Shri Slotta coming in, check in on KU, see if there's any noise. There isn't, that I know of, going on right now with any additions to the men's basketball program. How are KU fans going to feel if nothing else is done? It'll be interesting. This is all what's on tap in this hour. It's brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, locations East, West, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. As we come back in, we got the same Stanley Cup champion, Stanley Cup, you know, I'm not going to lie. I didn't really tune in much to the Stanley Cup. The repeat of Florida and Edmonton. USA keeps the streak alive. No championship still for Canada. Poor Canada. I feel bad for them a little bit there. And then the other thing that I saw a little bit late night, Tommy, was what was going on with Caitlin Clark in this game. There was like a flagrant. They were playing the Connecticut. There was a flagrant, and she got shoved. She got poked in the eye, then she got shoved. And then her teammate had her back and had a hard foul back the other way, like to get her back. I got to tell, like, I saw some of the overreaction last night, like, oh, I took everybody out of the league. I'm like, no, I kind of like it. Like, I'm in. The Caitlin Clark effect hasn't gone anywhere, by the way. Like, she is as popular an athlete right now and as must-see big draw athlete as there is in sports. And if they're going to add this next level of drama, like it's them against everybody else, man, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to the WNBA. I'm sorry. Like, everybody can throw their hands up in the air that they don't like people pushing. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, let's go. Bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that it's funny because with Caitlin Clark, I know people like to look at TV ratings and you know, you always hear about like the NBA finals and the lowest ratings and blah, 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 blah. The ratings went down significantly when Caitlin Clark was out with her injury. Like, people just weren't tuning in to watch it. Now she's back and people are tuning in droves, and it's now dominating again, as it should. And this is something that it's not a flash in the pan. It hasn't been with her. It has continued from her college days to now. And I don't see that train slowing down anytime soon. The only thing that can change that will be like what we just witnessed with her, like injury or something where she's out for an extended period of time. But when she's there and she's in the mix, it's going to be must see TV.
Here's what I would predict for the league. Nobody's going to capture us the way college Caitlin Clark captured us, probably, because you've got to find a style of play and a level of success that mimics what she did. That's going to be hard to do. It's like what Steph Curry did to us, right? He started playing the game in this new and different way that got everybody excited, and it led to championships. So, like, he had both things happening. We're like, what? Like, look at the way this guy plays. It's wild. Now, his happened at the NBA level, although he was a college basketball player, of course. But his happened at the NBA level, and then it led to championships. And so he created this, like, buzz that hadn't been created probably since LeBron, honestly, like, to that level. Caitlin Clark did the same thing in college. Like, she played this frenetic style, taking shots from everywhere. Her team was really good. And so you're like, okay, this is like, I can get on board with this. A lot of kids like it, which means the parents want to watch it with their kids. And like Steph Curry, she was a great ambassador of the game and all of these things. And then she gets to the level. Well, that's going to, I think it'll eventually raise the waters around them. Caitlin, but it's not going to happen immediately. So yeah, if she's gone, it's not as interesting. But then there's who's the next Caitlin Clark? Who does that next at the college level? Then it's who become the villains for Caitlin Clark, because we all like the story of sports, right? We make it story, but who become the villains? And so when we, like Angel Reese, I would imagine, and I don't have numbers to back this up, would probably be the second most compelling, popular, however you want to frame it, WNBA player right now. Why? Because she's been rivals with Caitlin Clark forever. And so, yeah, like if you're taking the anti-Caitlin Clark side, well, there you go. There's your person right there. It's laid out right in front of you, right? And if you are a Caitlin Clark fan, there you go. There's your villain. And so, yeah, when it gets a little scrappy in a game, that's not a bad thing. It's not manufactured either. None of what I saw last night was manufactured. She got poked in the eye. She bumped a player because she got poked in the eye and she didn't know where she was. Another player took exception to that bump, shoves her down. Okay. Like, all right. I get it. Things, emotions are high. Back the other way. Her teammate, hard foul, has her back. That's the way it should be. And then we get animosity, and now we're all talking about it on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, and there are people that are clutching their pearls, you know, like, oh, this is
ridiculous. I just can't stand that.
Like, yeah, I think it's crazy to me that, you know, there are no issues with that sort of thing happening in the men's game, you know, like, I think
it
it's fine.
It happens all the time.
Like, I think it's fine. And the other thing, too, is that there's been so much attention that has been paid to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and they are the exact opposite of each other in just about every single way. And that's been again, I agree with you. I don't think it's manufactured at all. That's been the top tier rivalry. But then you look at every other player on every other team in the WNBA, they all want to take Caitlin Clark down as well. Maybe not quite to the level of animosity that Angel Reese has with Caitlin Clark, but you better believe that every team and every player on those opposing teams, they don't want to see Caitlin Clark have success, so they're going to play her rough. It's the same thing that we saw with the great, that we've always seen with the greats. You know, go back to Michael Jordan and teams that were always playing him rough, like the Pistons always played him rough with hard fouls and things like that. Every team did. You want to take down the person at the very top of the mountain. So it's not just the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese thing. It's Caitlin Clark versus everybody else in the league. And they want to bring her down a couple of pegs too. And again, that's what drives a lot of that intrigue and that viewing.
And it should. And I hope it continues. And go before you clutch those pearls. Watch exactly what happened last night. There was nothing wrong with any of it. It was a high intensity moment where a sequence of things happened and everybody's reaction to those things was just fine. Poked in the eye accidentally. She bumped on accident because she couldn't see where she was. She got shoved because a teammate rushed over for that person. And then her teammate hard fouled the person that shoved her. Nothing was wrong with any of it. It would be the natural sequence of things. Just let it be and enjoy it. Enjoy it. I went home and one of my buddies he couldn't believe I hadn't been. He was like, you've been watching Caitlin Clark? And I was like, no, I haven't had a chance. He's like, are you kidding? Like, he's become a huge Indiana Fever. He has a couple daughters, like his wife's, like they enjoy it. They like set their watches to it. I think it's amazing that that's happening, and it's just going to keep happening if you let it go. All right, I see Jay Delling in the waiting room. We're going to take this break, and we're going to come back, and we're getting an update from the Wichita Open. What do we expect? The festivities sort of unofficially start today with some of the annual events, and then they really get going, of course, with the actual tournament tomorrow. What can fans expect? What can we all expect? And just what does it look like out there? We'll check in with Jay right on the other side of this break and get you that update. We've also got Shreyas Lada coming later this hour. So stick with us. More Sports Daily. We'll check in from the Open next. Don't go away.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Look who it is here. If you're watching us on the video stream, it's Jay Delling, who runs all the media and festivities out there and has for a very long time at the Wichita Open. Jay, this has been a unique year. Hard to imagine after this many years you can find a unique one, but this has been a unique one.
Well, it really has, and normally early in the week, I try to find a shady tree to take naps in, but I haven't been able to do that. In fact, you know, I get out here today, and there's this bright bulb in the sky that I haven't seen in a while. So that's, well, here's, over my shoulder, here's where we know we're back on schedule, all right? Do you see the smoker from Security First in the background?
Heck
here,
yeah.
Over my shoulder? That's when we know it's Wednesday Pro-Am Day. We have persevered all week long with the rain and the wind. We got another inch and a half last night, and Tommy texted me really late last night, and he said, Jade, you need my anti-rain dance. And I said, we need whatever you got, Tommy. So whatever you did, and I really don't want to know the details, but
it's
whatever
not safe for yeah, video not, stream.
Yeah, we'll share that off the air. How are things looking out there? I know the cleanup efforts throughout the day yesterday were pretty incredible, and just seeing pictures and video of I mean, at one point it looked like a couple hundred people out there picking up tree limbs and chainsaws and that sort of thing. How are things looking this morning?
You know, this is why I've lived in this community all my life. This is why I'm involved in the Wichita Open and have been for 36 years, because yesterday people came from all over with chainsaws, with just helping hands. The grounds crew here at Crestview is absolutely amazing. Dusty Buell's staff at the Wichita Open, they dropped what they were doing and went out and did what was needed in the moment, and that is to clean up the golf course. So there were so many factions that came together to make this possible. When I got here, I couldn't even believe this was the same golf course that I left last night, because all the major damage of tree limbs down, not only tree limbs, but actual trees. So we are having difficult playing number 7 and number 13. So the Pro-Am today is a 16-hole event. But just to have golfers on the golf course this morning is just a great testament to this great community.
Well, the course, we had to see what happened with the storm last night. How much do you see? I know there was a lot of water that came to the course, but as far as debris and everything else, did we survive it? Is there more than there was yesterday, or did everything stay pretty intact other than the water?
Yeah, we pretty much had just rain. I mean, there were some winds, but just, normal winds that you see thunderstorms. So the debris was pretty much done by the time the second wave of weather that came in. Again, testament to all hands on deck. This golf course looks like it did last year, which is amazing. Now, there's still damage to the hospitality chalets on number 17 and number 18. I don't have a picture of 18 because there's trees in the way, but they have pretty much leveled it. There is a ground floor existence that is still a part of it, and they're still making determinations on if it's safe to have people stand on it starting tomorrow. That's the plan, to have an open seating on number 18. Number 17 is an interesting situation. I went and stood on number 17T late yesterday, and as I looked, and you guys have been down there, and it starts way left and short of the green, and the chalets just, half moon around the green and come on the right side, double decker, triple decker. And on the left side and on the right side, nothing was touched. Nothing was compromised. It's the middle that looked like somebody just brought in a bulldozer and made mincemeat out of it. And so there's some clean up there, but the hope is business as usual. And again, it's just an amazing testament to the Wichita Open staff, to all the folks here at Crestview, to the Corn Ferry staff. I've been doing this for 36 years. I have never seen the carnage that I saw yesterday, and when I got out here this morning, it looks like business as usual.
Yeah, I ran into.
How does 18 look, Jay? You mentioned 17. Is 18 did look like it got it worse?
It did, and so they've cleared away all the aluminum and the glass and all the destruction there. They've got that pretty much cleaned up, and now I think the engineers and the powers that be are looking at the base ground floor structure, which I couldn't tell if there was any significant damage. So they're still evaluating whether we can put people on that or not. And so once that decision is made, hopefully it's still intact and at least people can enjoy the golf. It'll be warm this weekend, but I looked at the forecast. It's probably going to be a little bit humid, but the highs are in the very low 90s. So we're used to 100 degrees at this point in time with this golf tournament. So hopefully the weather will still help us out, but it's going to be open air seating on 18 at best, which I think the fans are going to be okay with that.
I ran into Dusty Buell last night at the pairings party for the Pro-Am, and I was like, Dusty, are you going to get any sleep tonight? And he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I think it's been – what's been wild is with all of the disruption and everything that's happened, I know that there have been some events that have been canceled and had to move some things around. There was a charity scramble yesterday that didn't end up happening and, you know, a few other things. But for the most part, you know, there was a pairings party last night for the Pro-Am. You said that tournament is happening today. There's been golf that has gone on, clinics and things like that. And when you talk about the actual golf, I mean, we've had qualifying events before the storms came in to get the final couple people into the field. So by and large, the majority of the schedule has been unaffected.
It really has. It really has been. Again, testament to the Wichita Open staff. But as a golfer, for example, let's take Monday qualifying. We included 8 new players in the field through Monday qualifying at Auburn Hills and Sand Creek Station on Monday. Most of those players have never seen Crestview before, so there wasn't an opportunity yesterday for a practice round. There's not an opportunity today because of the Pro-Am. And there's still some Korn Ferry Tour members who are new to this tour that this is their first time in Wichita. And so a lot of players won't actually physically see this golf course until their tee time tomorrow.
Wow.
I mean, it's wild that we've made this much progress with this thing. One thing, Jay, normally when we talk to you in these, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday before, it's about the golf. We haven't talked about the golf at all. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
How's the golf looking? Where are we with this tour? Do we have local interests? Like just a normal conversation. Cause I think for those guys, this is all going to be very normal and fine now.
Yeah. So, well, you know, no, great point. Great point, Jacob. Once tomorrow hits, it'll be normal for these guys. I mean, even though some of the guys won't have had a chance to play this golf course, it's not like that's never happened before in their golf career. This tour is filled with just so many great players. So I'll give you an example. J.J. Spahn just won the U.S. Open, and he did it in just unbelievable fashion, birding the last two holes to win arguably one of the greatest tournaments in the world. J.J. Spahn in 2016 was in a 3-man playoff right here at the Wichita Open. The playoff consisted of another major championship winner, Colin Morikawa, who at the time in 2016 was a soon-to-be sophomore at the University of California. He played this event as an amateur, tied for first place, was in a playoff. The third person in that playoff that ultimately won it was Ollie Schneider-Jans, who went on and played several years on the PGA Tour, and now he's a LIV member. So J.J. Spahn has a history here in Wichita, which is kind of interesting, which just shows you what this tour does. Back in 1990, when Ben Hogan put his name on this tour, he said, I want to give young and upcoming golfers a chance to hone their skills, not just golf skills. He wanted to give them a chance to play in front of galleries, to meet the media, and just to navigate what a professional golfer is all about. And 36 years later, I think it's a huge success. Why do I think that? J.J. Spahn's story. Our first winner in 1990 right here in Wichita was Tom Lehman. He had a pretty good career. David Duval has won here. David Toms has won here. Jason Duffner has won here. The common denominator of all those players, they've won major championships on the PGA Tour. So this tour does exactly what it was intended to do, and that's to develop them as golf professionals. And so out of this week, we're going to blink 2, 3, 4 years down the line, and guys that have played this week are going to be winning regularly on the PGA Tour. And so that's what I enjoy every year when I come out here, because I'm just seeing the future of golf grow.
It's amazing. The future of golf is going to be bright and wonderful. Who's your favorite?
My favorite golfer?
Who's your favorite to win it? Pick us a winner.
You know what? There's 156 guys in the field, and I've talked to golfers who have missed 3 straight cuts, and then they come out of nowhere and win a golf tournament. I'm telling you what, here's two people I'm excited about. Pearson Cootey. First of all, he's the grandson of Charles Cootey, who won the 1971 Masters.
Okay.
He was a hotshot coming out of Texas 3 years ago, played on this tour in 22 and 23, got his PGA Tour card for 24, finished 131st on the list, which is six short of keeping his tour card. So now he's back here where he was a couple of years ago. He's still trying to get it. He's still trying to figure it out. But he comes from great pedigree. Another guy I'm looking at this week is a young man named Blades Brown. He just turned 18 years old. I think he's 40-something on the points list. He just graduated from high school, and he's a member of this tour. He went through qualifying to become a member of this tour. And so look out for Blades Brown. He's going to be one of those players, again, we're going to blink, and in a couple of years, he's winning regularly on the PGA Tour. So there's some great stories like that. So deep down inside, I'm kind of rooting for those two guys.
Hey, by the way, Pearson Cootey, I'm playing in the Pro-Am today. He's one of my guys, one of my pros in the Pro-Am. So I'm willing to give him some tips to get back onto the PGA Tour. I can maybe have a conversation with him about that.
Just don't broach the anti-rain dance.
Yeah, I won't do that. I won't do that.
Swing advice, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, swing advice, great. I'm sure you will have his complete attention.
I'm sure I will.
When it comes to, you know, the golf swing.
I'm sure I will.
So last one, Jay, over under 19 under par to win the tournament.
I'm going to say over, only because, first of all, this golf course is in great shape. So it's a soft golf course and will be probably through the whole weekend. It's going to be throwing darts for these guys. Okay. And these Deutsche fairways are absolutely perfect to hit wedges from. These greens are going to be receptive. I like the fact that you picked 19 because 19 under is a typical winning score here. But I think it's going to be in the 20s.
Okay. I like it. I like to see the scoring. Jay, thank you for the updates. We'll be checking. We'll be out there. We'll be joining you tomorrow and Friday. So we'll see you out there. We'll get
ready
today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Appreciate it. There's Jay Delling. He has been with this tournament forever and just really looking forward to seeing him out there and just all the people you always see out there, right? Like I've been going to that thing and different capacities and everything for a decade now, and I'm excited to see everybody. So you know your pros then, Tommy. You know, how many do you get? I thought you got just one.
Two. It's a 9 and 9. So you play with one pro for 9 holes, and then you play with another pro for the other 9 holes, which I guess in this case, because there are two unplayable holes, it'd be an 8 and 8. One pro for 8 holes and another pro for the other 8.
And so then he doesn't get to scramble with the rest of you. Right. He has to take his own score.
Yeah, he takes his own ball. He takes his own ball and his own score the entire way.
And then whoever score his score or what is it? Are you with three other people?
Yeah, three other people.
And then so do you combine them or do you get
no
his or yours?
It's his. If it's better than anybody else in the group or it's one of ours, if we end up, you know, beating him.
Oh, so you're not even scrambling? The four of you?
My understanding, I played in it last year, and I believe this was the case. I think it's a shamble, not a scramble. Have you ever heard of a shamble?
The score of the group
No. So a shamble is everybody tees off. You find out of the four on your team, you find who has the best drive. You all play. You drop your ball from the best drive, like a scramble. But then you play your own ball the rest of the way.
The rest of the way.
The rest. Okay. So they call that a shamble.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure, right? That's a lot. Do you know who you're playing with, or is it random?
I know Matt Hamilton, the general manager of the Windsurge, is on my team. And then I don't know who the other two folks are. We'll find out when we get there.
They sort of place you.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be, no pressure.
Can I tell you also, while we have a moment, how shocked I am that the Pro-Am is happening today. Even waking up this morning, like it wasn't until just now with Jay on and confirming that it was happening. In the back of my mind, I thought, man, I don't get your hopes up. I have a feeling that it's not going to happen. And they're going to try to take as much time today to get the course as playable and ready to go as possible. I'm very, 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 very surprised. And I'm thrilled about it.
I thought that they played it earlier in the day. I texted you last night and I was like, man, there's going to be a lot of rain. I don't know how they're going to play these holes.
Well, I think they've got tee times going here shortly. Like there's a morning wave and an afternoon wave. I'm in the afternoon wave. So I don't know about the morning tee times. Yeah.
That's a lot of water. Yeah. But that's what they do. It's what they do for a living. Last night was better than I thought it would be. I mean, I didn't have standing water. In my yard, we get a pond. It's like the neighborhood pond in my backyard. It wasn't up this morning, which tells me it wasn't as bad as it could have been, and they're going to be fine. Don't mess up the fairways, please. Or better yet, don't mess up the rough, please.
Yeah, I'm
today.
That was my thought, was that they're not going to want, you know, a bunch of idiots like me out on the course hacking away and digging up the grass and, you know, throwing it everywhere right after all the rain that they got.
Do you get to drink beer while you play in the Pro-Am, or is it more serious than
absolutely
that?
You get to drink beer during the Pro-Am. So are you kidding
you
me?
Get to, oh, man. See, now it'd be like, do you drink enough beer where you're competitive against your pro? Like, what's the problem, pro? We keep having a better score than you.
So quick story. I know we just got a second to go here before we hit our break, but this was probably 10 years ago. I played in the Pro-Am my very first time, and I was really nervous, didn't really know what I was doing. First shot, I hit onto the green on number 10 to like 5 feet. I was closer than my pro was on my approach shot on the very first hole. And my pro was like, hey, great shot. I'm like, yeah, don't get used to that. That's a one-time thing. And it was bad the rest of the way. But for that one moment, I had that pro in the palm of my hands. He was like, man, this guy's really good.
I mean, it's a practice round for these guys. It'll be fun. We expect a full report tomorrow. We'll be back. We got Trey Slotta joining us next on Sports Daily.
I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are joined now by Sri Slotta, our KU insider, at SHRE98 on X, reporting for the KC Star on all things KU. And Shreyas, all things KU have not meant a lot when it comes to KU basketball here lately. KU fans going to be fine and okay if this roster is the roster and there are no more additions of significance the rest of the way?
I don't think so. I think there's got to be some additions. You need a backup big. You probably need another wing. I know Self said he wanted another guard, which I thought was surprising, but I guess he probably wants another combo guard that can play some wing. But I mean, look, I think the roster is better than last year. I think Darren Peterson's an incredible all-world talent. I think they're going to be more exciting to watch. The reality of the situation is right now where it stands, I don't see them, you know, make it a deep run, though, you know, unless things go in a way that we don't expect. Like, multiple guys had big leaps. Like, Jamar and Marco had big leaps. Florida had a big leap. Like, you're expecting things that I think necessarily you can't count on right now at the moment.
I know that at one point it sounded like Bill Self was hoping that they could land maybe somebody overseas and look to an international player for that. Is that still on the table? Are you hearing anything about any of those guys that potentially are out there from another country?
Yeah, I know they were looking at Bryce Desert. I think there's been some visa issues there. So unfortunately, that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. They've been linked to another Turkish big man. I don't know how likely that's going to happen. They just hosted Coles, who's been getting a lot of interest. He's a 2026 class kid who could reclassify to 2025, but he has a ton of interest from every blue blood. He just visited Oregon, just came to Kansas, yesterday. And then today is his last day on the visit. And then, he's visiting Miami next week. So I wouldn't expect any decision anytime soon on that end. And then they've been linked to, McDowell, who is, a guy that, you know, kind of lit it up in the you know, D2, JUCO, et cetera, circuit. But right now, I feel like it's been as quiet as we could have expected. I mean, like, I think there was some murmurs in the last month and a half they would have landed one of Dame Sar, you know, Darian Williams, you know, the OK State guy, or even, you know, Bryce Desert. But it just feels like the Jayhawks, intentionally or not, have struck out on a lot of, you know, links that they've been linked to, players they've been linked to.
I got to go back here to you saying you think this is a better roster than last year. That's interesting to me because of what came back to last year's roster. You had a defensive All-American and an All-American and all. I know it didn't work out for them, but are you really thinking this roster is better right now than that roster was?
I think I do. I think the play style for me is better, and I think the fit of the pieces around it are a lot better, and I think ultimately that's why the roster's better. The individual talent outside of Darren Peterson might not be equal to what last year's roster had, but we saw it firsthand for 2 years, basically. The fit of DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams, and Hunter Dickinson just was never there, and it was there briefly when Kevin McCullough and Johnny Furphy were healthy. Yeah. But those were two NBA wings. This roster has at least one bona fide NBA top three player as long as he stays healthy. Probably still would probably be top three. And then you have Bryson Tiller, who Bill Self is going to be an NBA player. You have guys like Jaden Dawson, Melvin Council, who are hoping to make in the league, maybe as the guys who have really good years could be late, you know, mid to late second rounders, you know. And you never know what you're getting from Marco and Jamari. Like, I think we've talked about those guys a little bit, but think about how many guys have made that leap in Bill Self's third season under Bill Self. Yes, they sat out last year, but, you know, you hope one of the two will be taking a step forward in play. So for me, I think the roster is better than last year. I don't know if the result would be different, though. I think there's some clear flaws. They still don't have three-point shooting, I think, to my liking. I think they don't have a real wing on the roster. And the backup big right now is a question mark outside of, you know, is Bryson Tiller going to play the backup five? But that would be kind of undersized from going to Flory to Tiller.
I want to shift gears a little bit here, Shreyas. You had an article that dropped this morning in the Kansas City Star about KU's approach to revenue sharing. And that's been such a big deal in the world of college athletics over the last few weeks, and what that's going to look like when everything gets settled. And some really interesting thoughts from Travis Goff and all of that. So if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing some of that insight that you were able to gain with the way that Kansas is going to approach revenue sharing, and then some of the way that they're classifying their different sports.
Yeah. You know, so Kansas is going to basically split the lion's share of revenue, basically all of it, among seven sports. And the way they've categorized it is revenue earning sports and broadcast/ticketed sports. So revenue earning sports, they view it as football, men's basketball, women's basketball. Goff noted, obviously, there's a big difference between football and basketball, and obviously men's and women's basketball. But he said that putting money into women's basketball, they see it as a revenue generator, as something that can make money if they invest in it. And then the other four sports, soccer, volleyball, baseball, and softball, those are all ticketed sports. They view it as if they're on TV at any point during the season, regular season, postseason, whatever, if they're on ESPN2, if they're on Hulu, or if they're on whatever, that's, you know, they view it as sports that will get some share of revenue sharing. The rest of the sports will kind of just get the Alston Academic Award, which is what they've gotten the last couple of years, and some variants of this thing, but it'll be a very small portion of the pie. Football, obviously, will get the lion's share. There's no specific numbers out there, but he hopes to be able to put a competitive roster that can win a NCAA championship. Basketball, I reported on Saturday, they plan to be in the top 10 percentile of spending. So what does that mean? Goff presumes top 10 percentile means 4.5 to 5.5 million. About, or 5.5. He expects schools to be like the gap, you know, kind of the range to be 3 to 5.5 million on what teams will spend across the country on men's basketball. And right now, as of right now, the goal is to spend 20.5 million, but they could keep a little bit left over for strategic reasons per Goff. So the way KU is approaching it is, the big thing they're focusing on is roster retention, rewarding the guys that have been there a long time on the court, off the court, who do well. And then, you know, basketball and football are so different. Golf is kind of waiting for data to come in from this first year to kind of really, you know, move around little percentages in the pie. And as we know, the percentage of how much these guys can get paid can be increased. Like, it could go higher than $20.5 million next year in the next fiscal, you know, cap year, whatever. And he mentioned all the guys that KU football added in December. There was a kind of a addendum in their contract, not addendum, but really a part of their contract where rev share was going to be a part of it. It was just nobody had given the rev share. So KU's been on top of it. They've been planning for it for 12 to 15 months now. I think they're taking a lot of time to really, you know, what they value and prioritize. And I think, you know, I give Goff props because I pushed him a lot on that interview for numbers and other stuff. And I think he was as clear as you could hope an athletic director could be on some things.
So Sharia Slada joining us, KC Star. What does that mean then for NIL? Is that that's the revenue share money, right? So does NIL come back over the top of that? Does NIL contribute to that?
It's like separate entity almost, because technically the school is not associated with NIL, right? Like it's right. Their, it's like the, yeah, you know, whatever school like program, you know, like, you know, Michigan has their NIL for like Chasing Blue or whatever program. Like the same thing with Kansas, right? Like obviously it seems like the name is changing every year with the Kansas program, so it's hard to keep up, but that's a whole separate entity. Like it's Goff said like players theoretically double dip, right? And I'd asked him, like, you know, I gave an example of AJ Bonsa from BYU, who's allegedly making $8 million. I was like, would that mean, you know, with rev share, these guys' numbers would be cut in a half or a fourth or whatever? He was like, I don't think it's a bad assumption to make. Their numbers be cut in half, and then you hope whatever NIL can get based on the clearinghouse thing. Goff is confident that the clearinghouse thing is going to work. There's not going to be any issues. I'm not as confident. I think the minute somebody gets a valuation where they feel like they can make more money, they're suing. I just don't think it makes feasible sense to have a third party agency, in my mind, determine how much money this kid should be paid to do this car commercial or be associated with this brand. I think it's unfair to athletes. And I also think people are going to argue 6 million different things of, well, oh, you only think I'm worth 2 million for this commercial? Well, I brought in 7 million to this university with all my jersey sales.
What was Cooper Flagg worth to New Balance?
Millions, if not millions, yeah, of dollars, right? Like it's unquantifiable, you, almost, right?
What and Zion Williamson had been worth in that era to Nike? Like, come on. Like, you can't.
100%.
Yeah, and maybe the clearinghouse does take that stuff into consideration and the numbers are much higher than we would anticipate. But when I hear it, I'm like, oh, that's a way to try to suppress that, which doesn't make any sense, because why would the schools care what the NIL's paying?
I agree.
Like, why would they care? Why would anybody care, quite frankly?
I think really interesting. Their feeling is if they care, it's because they know their sponsors or donors or whoever are not giving up the big bucks in NIL, right? But Goff likes the fact that the spread is not 3 to 30 million for football or basketball roster.
Yeah,
I think he really likes it. And I think he knows, let's call it what it is, he thinks the playing field will be balanced. I told him, I asked him straight up, do you expect team, you know, schools to play by the rules? He was like, I do, but I'm not going to sit here and be naive enough and to think they don't play in the gray or they don't push the edge on things, which I think is going to happen. I bet you everyone's going to do it. I
mean, if this is a salary cap and it works,
yes,
man, it's going to be awesome. But yes. I don't know what history tells us that would be good. You can find all that work. You can find those stories that we just mentioned there at the KC Star. You can find him at SHRE98 on X. Shreyas, it's a wild ride. We appreciate it. And at some point, we're going to have roster moves, I guess, for KU basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas. Yeah, boy, if you could get a salary cap in this thing, Tommy, that would be so much fun. Like, if it really, truly worked as a salary cap, I just don't think there's any way that you're going to keep. I don't know how they could do it unless you put them under contract. Again, we talked about it a million times. Like, yeah, if you put them under contract, you can control.
That's about the only way that you can get that done is with the contract. And that's going to require collective bargaining. And
yeah,
I think that while that may ultimately be where things settle down the road, we're not there yet.
No. No, it could be down the road. All right. Don't forget, we got Wichita open tomorrow. We will be live out there for 4 hours, so be ready for that. We got more Sports Daily coming your way, though. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester with you for the next few hours. And we are getting ready for, Wichita Open Week. We didn't get as much wind and damage last night. So I think, you know, all things considered, we did pretty good with that. We'll get into that as we make our way through. We'll kind of try to get a report from out there from our friends that have been working on that. So we'll let you know there. We'll be out there live for the next couple of days after today. We'll have the full crew. We'll have Brandon, TJ will join us out there. It'll be a lot of fun. Royals finally snap the streak, the losing streak, and they get back in the win column with some sort of interesting reporting yesterday that follows kind of what we were talking about here on the show with some decisions that'll have to be made, not anytime soon, but in the next month or so, where this could go a totally different direction than we thought. One thing that could potentially stop all of the bad things people don't want to think about, winning a whole bunch of games real fast. That would help the Royals. We have new Stanley Cup champions. Well, new old Stanley Cup champions. The Florida Panthers get that done. Things are getting chippy in the WNBA. Caitlin Clark, a little drama, some physicality last night that keeps them in the headlines. Pretty interesting stuff. And then we'll have some guests today as well. Shreya Slada will join us, our KU insider. And we should, for the first time since all the NCAA rulings came down, should, planning on having Kevin Saul a little bit later as well. It's all What's on Tap for you, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, locations east, west, and in historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza, beer, made here. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Wednesday. A big shout out, by the way. I know you mentioned the Wichita Open. Shout out to their entire crew, their entire staff, working, you know, crazy yesterday and I'm sure into the night and all day today trying to get that golf course ready to go. The groundskeepers out there at Crestview. And then I also know that there were a lot of people that pitched in from the community as well. That's one of the things that makes Wichita super special. I know that there were people from other golf courses around town. I know the Wichita Wind Surge sent their groundskeepers over, and I think they had like 10 guys go over, including their heads groundskeeper, go over and help clean things up. There were Crestview members with chainsaws that were out there. So it's an all hands on deck type situation to get the golf course playable, number one, for tomorrow, and then make sure that the fans are able to have a great time. So that's one of the big things I love about this community, people pitching in and doing things like that. So shout out to Dusty Buell and the entire team there with the Wichita Open to get things ready to go.
I hadn't heard that about the wind surge. That's fantastic. What a great use of resources. And I do think, and I haven't been all the way outside here this morning, but it didn't feel like, and I stayed up with the storm for a little while, it didn't feel like that wind that could have come really got us. It's a lot of water that they'll have to clear from the course today, which, you know, the Crestview guys are well-versed in doing that and getting things in good condition. So I think all things considered, last night we maybe dodged a bullet. That first round had some wind, and the ground was so wet. I'm sure that there are tree damages more, but not as much as the first night, I hope. And I hope that they're able to get it through. For instance, after I was driving home, our neighborhood, you know, we had a bunch of trees gone from 2 days ago, or yesterday morning, I guess. When I got home from work, that littler storm that came through, because it was so wet, there were like three more big trees down. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I hope Crestview, I hope they didn't sustain any more tree damage last night. I don't think the grandstands would have been in any danger last night. So hopefully, you know, hopefully we're cooking here today and they can get things going and get the festivities. And I know, you know, get the grandstands ready. I don't know what that's going to look like. They may still not know what that's going to look like. We'll check in. Maybe I'll get an update if we can before we leave the air, but give them some time to get out and sort of survey things here this morning. But man, oh man, what a wrench to throw into that. It looked so good too. My goodness, the images coming out of there with the way the grandstands look this year, it looks amazing. Now we just got to do what we can do here.
Yeah, I was talking to Troy Jordan, who's the new chair of the board for the Wichita Open. We had him on our show a week ago. I was talking to him last night at the Pro-Am pairings party. And I said, you know, Troy, the Wichita Open never had any of these issues before you were the chair of the board. So, you know, maybe there's a connection there. But no, they've done a wonderful job. And from a tree damage perspective, I think that they dodged a bullet yesterday with that. Really, I think it's primarily the water on the course, the flooding and all of that. Now, you know, it looks like we're done with all of that. And so as the sun comes out and the temperatures heat up, you know, like to think that the course might dry out some in time for tomorrow. I would imagine today's Pro-Am will be pretty soggy for the most part. But, you know, I think that one of the silver linings in all of this and all the rough weather we've had over the last few days is that we've gotten about as much rain as we possibly could have needed. And that's good overall for the way things have been. So, you know, looks like we're done with all of it. And we can move forward and it's going to get sunny and hot. And you always know that summer is going to get kicked off when it's Wichita Open time.
It's just everybody I talked to were like, God, I feel so bad for everybody who's been putting that together yesterday. Like that was the overlying. And I felt the exact same way. I'm like, God, what a mess. We're going to be out there, I assume, everything full steam ahead. Yeah. And we've got HTO going out there, I assume, full steam ahead. But the strange thing is, because yesterday, like, we hadn't really, we've just kind of been in, like, wait mode. Like, what do we do now? So today will be a little chaos out there getting it all ready, but it'll be good chaos. We didn't get more damage, I don't think, at least a lot more in that storm. But again, we'll check in on what the latest out there is. Speaking of the weather, just heard from Kevin Saul. He's not going to be able to join us because he's dealing with the weather, no power, some flooding issues at his home. I hope everybody avoided the flooding. That was the danger last night, of course, was all this rain on top. We, Tommy and I always miss, like, Cheney Lake better be full. You know, like, we better have filled that thing up after all this, all the rain. God, my goodness, we're going to be, I don't know how much, I haven't looked at the totals. We're going to be up over like 16 inches since Memorial Day. I mean, it is unreal how much rain we've had lately. When it rains, it pours, right? Like the old adage, we've been there. So hang in there, everybody. We're going to have a party this week out at the Wichita Open. It's going to happen. It might look a little different, but it's going to happen. So if you've got your tickets, if you're ready to get out there and party, get ready to get out there and party, because it's going to do something. Like, we're going to have the festivities. It just may look a little different this year, at least for the first couple of days. But we'll have more on that as we make our way through. So Kevin Saul will not be able to join us today. Just heard from him. Good luck to him and his storm cleanup. But we will have plenty to come. We're going to have, speaking of all this golf and Crestview Country Club, we're going to have your chance to win a round of golf for two, including the cart out at Crestview Country Club. That's coming up a little bit later. We'll give away some HTO. We have all kinds of fun stuff for you. Quick reminder, the Summer Concert Series is back at the Federal Amphitheater in Andover. The series returns this Friday, June 20th, with Across the Pond live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy free live music, food trucks, and Friday night fun all summer long. The full schedule at knssradio.com. We're locked in. We're ready to roll. We'll get you an update. I'll text the fellas out at the Open, see how they looked last night during the break here. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on a rainy morning, the aftermath of a rainy morning. But we're locked in and ready to go. So let's talk Royals when we return. They finally get the win. That's coming for you on Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
back in, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Max Power would be with us, Tommy, but the storm has done its damage to Max's daily routine, so he is not with us at the moment. Our best to Max, our best to Kevin Saul, who can't be with us this morning because of the storm. We made it. We survived last night's version. What a wild spring. When does summer start? Like today or tomorrow, I think?
I'm glad that I know the very basics on how to produce this show. And I was, you know, kind of like casually walking in this morning, no big deal. And I run into a friend of the program, longtime producer, Jad Chambers, and he's producing the Steve and Ted show, you know, like he does every morning on KNSS. And he goes, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He goes, I think everything's okay. Why? He goes, "Max isn't here. He's not in the studio." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And Max is as reliable as they come, right? And I'm like, "What is going on? Come in the studio. He's not here." So I, you know, throw the show together real quick, tell you, I'm like, "Hey, I'm producing it." And I was worried something had happened to him. I think he had some kind of, you know, storm damage, electrical issue or something at his place. And so he's not able to make it in. So I'm glad I can get us on the air. Beyond that, not a whole lot I can do.
Hey, we're here. We're making it. Isn't that how we all feel right now? Like we're making it. We're making it through. Yesterday was a little unnerving after the morning storm just annihilated things pretty much citywide. And it was like, oh, good. We're going to have two more rounds of this. And the severe threat was pretty real. And we had a dangerous storm spinning a little bit just to the south of us. And the second wave, it was like, that thing looks just like the first one that came through early in the morning. And then I was watching, I couldn't stay up all night, but I was, I don't know, it was around 9 or 10 o'clock and we're just waiting for it. And it was like, it was kind of just making a loop around the Wichita area. And I was like, well, that's got to be good. And then it just kind of rained on us, which is a problem. I understand that. We have lots of flooding issues right now. I don't know. We'll see. We'll check in with the Wichita, but I'm going to let them get a little time under their belt, and then we'll see about how things are going out there. I know it's chaos. I don't know if I'm going to have somebody come on, but we'll at least get you an update.
By the way, from the officials out there. Talking weather, I know I texted this to you yesterday, but publicly, just want to shout out Storm Team 12 and Ross Jansen. And I was, you know, watching the coverage yesterday, right around the rush hour afternoon drive and all of that. And new weather partners with us here at Odyssey and KNSS. And I know KNSS was simulcasting, and it was fantastic coverage, fantastic TV coverage, fantastic radio coverage, all of that. And I know I speak for all of us here at Odyssey. We love that partnership and love the fact that that's continuing.
It's fantastic. They did such a good job yesterday. I mean, it's unreal how good they are at what they do, and just how much they serve the community. It really is. And our crews out in the fields too, and everybody doing their work. We have more eyes on that storm to the south. It was forming right at 4 when I was on the air. And I'm just like, man, like we had it from 3 different angles, and thank goodness it didn't, you know, become some devastating mass. I know it wasn't, you know, all clear or anything like that. So hope everybody's okay with it. But yeah, it's just, it's a good time to be there. You really feel fortunate that you have good meteorologists across the city, and Storm Team 12 is as good as they get. Yeah, I agree. I second that. Shout out to them. And of course, they're on the air for hours and hours and hours just doing it. All right, Tommy, I don't know how much time you had. I did get in with Royals and the Rangers a little bit last night. Kind of the middle portion of that game among all the storms and everything else. Literally exactly what you want to see, right? It's exactly what you want to see in a game like that. Salvi waking up a little bit, Bobby Witt waking up a little bit. The offense goes, and Seth Lugo, who we'll get to in a minute, has a more kind of like a vintage Seth Lugo performance, a really strong, let me steady the ship here performance when the team, I mean, they had to have it. They had to have it. The conversations we're having to have around the Royals right now are really uncomfortable. They got to be uncomfortable inside that locker room.
They've got to be. I mean, you know, it was good to see them finally break through offensively a little bit. It was good to see guys that, you know, need to take the lead and be the offensive leaders on this team break through last night, and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. And look, are things fixed with this team? No. Do we feel confident that they have been able to you know, get past all of the woes that they've had over the last week? No, I don't think so. But this is a good step in the right direction. They absolutely had to have it because things could, you know, it could have easily spiraled out of control. Brandon and I talked on Monday when you were out about how you can kind of maybe excuse the Yankees series at home last week because they are the Yankees, even though offensively they're struggling right now. But you can kind of excuse that with their lineup, with their pitching, just the overall organization. You can excuse a sweep at home against the Athletics and a six-game home losing streak, a winless homestand. There's no excuse for that. And so it could have very easily continued to spiral out of control and snowball for this team. So it was good that we got a step in the right direction with the win last night and the bats kind of came alive. Of course, the big question mark, the way that it's always been this season, is can that be sustained? We haven't seen it yet this season, and that's going to be the big question mark.
I mean, we just have to have now uncomfortable conversations. The conversation no longer is what should the Royals trade for and what should they add to this team? Right now, the answer to that question is nothing. They shouldn't trade for anything. They're not in a position, I don't think, to make that make sense. The question now shifts to should they trade assets? And there were chatter yesterday that, you know, there's talk that the Royals are being, you know, Piccolo's being directed to maybe look at trading some assets and doing all these things. I would imagine that that's more about let's get the legwork ready just in case, right? They don't have a lot of like obvious, no doubt about it, we should trade this player type guys anyway. They have some really attractive trade pieces if they chose to go that way. But they also, I think the other path is to just sort of write out what they have. What happens over the next 2 weeks or so is going to probably tell us what they should. They're not going to trade assets away if they're in a great position for the wild card. They were three games out going into yesterday, and the Rangers are one of the teams they're behind. They can, with a good week, they could reestablish themselves as one of the wild card spots. That's how crazy it is right now. So it's not like it's they should go trade away assets or, oh, they should go trade for. Right now, the answer is just to kind of hold steady and be ready one way or the other to do. I don't know that there's any scenario, honestly, Tommy, before the trade deadline where I'm like, they should go be aggressive and trade for players. I don't know that there's anything that's going to make me say they should do that anymore.
I think on that
trading
same
way is the difference.
Well,
story.
I don't know. I think on that same note, I'm not sure there's anything that could happen that would want me to have them trade away top stars either. I mean, there is, I think, valid arguments for all three paths that they could take as of right now, as of June 17th or 18th, whatever today is. I think there are arguments that can be made for all three paths. If they get aggressive, I can understand it. Either way, buying or selling, I could understand it. If they do nothing, I also could understand it. Like, nothing is crystal clear. And so with that makes it significantly difficult. And there are only a handful of teams in Major League Baseball that, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they are going to be buyers. Same thing with sellers. There are only a handful of teams that, you know, are only, you know, that are going to be sellers if they do anything at all. That report that came down yesterday about J.J. Piccolo thinking about trading away some veteran talent that broke before the game, names like Seth Lugo and others. Apparently, Piccolo was on our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan, yesterday, and was asked about that report. He said that was unequivocally false. And so he refuted that and shut that down fairly quickly. I think could that still be on the table? Absolutely, it could. Again, I think there are arguments that could be made to go in all different directions.
Listen, I don't know that there's I doubt that there's a directive right now. I would imagine conversations are more like, hey, and this is a total guess, but I'm just trying, you just try to put yourself in those situations. If it were us, we would be having a conversation of like, hey, let's be prepared, right? No matter what happens here. Whether that's J.J. Piccolo telling John Sherman, hey, John, if the bottom falls out here, are you okay if we go try to acquire some assets by trading away tradable pieces? or if it's John Sherman saying, hey, JJ, if the bottom falls out on this thing, let's be ready to go acquire some future talent for guys that may not fit. Like, of course they've talked about that. Every team in baseball has talked about that. That's not like some breaking news that the Royals are preparing themselves for lots of outcomes. The new part of it is, you know, a month ago, they probably never saw themselves potentially being in this position. But with the way that the AL shakes out right now, man, it only takes one bad week to have some uncomfortable conversations. That's all it is, right? Like, it's not anything crazy. I'd be more concerned if that report said yesterday that the Royals are digging in their heels and there's no chance they would trade away. Like, I'd be like, what, why? Like, why is that the case? That doesn't make any sense for a team with young talent that looks like it's opening the window to a nice stretch of baseball, but they're 2.5 games out of a wild card. Like, it's not buy or sell mode right now. Right now, it's let's see how well they can play down the stretch here. They're 2.5 games out of the last wild card spot. They're 5 games out of the first wild card spot. Anything can happen here. The challenge is they play a brutal schedule until the trade deadline. And so if the Royals are going to do it, they're going to have to get on one of those Royals hot streaks. I mean, they just are to be able to do this thing. And then back to last night's game, that's a great start to a streak like that. What I think it's pretty interesting for the Royals is if they play their best, what kind of streak could they rattle off against all these good teams? You know, they kind of beat up on that first win streak this year. They beat up on a lot of not so good teams in that stretch, which was great. They're not going to get that sort of stretch. So are they capable of rattling off, you know, a 10 of 12 or something like that against the teams that they're about to play? They'll get Bubic and then Waka the rest of this series. And the Rangers are not juggernauts this year by any means, but they're a team that's thickly in the middle of things in the wild card. I don't know how capable they are of that. Salvi and Bobby Witt find their power. That's one of the, I mean, honestly, it's probably the biggest missing thing happening right now with their offense is those two guys. But, you know, Salvi is coming around. Bobby Witt Jr. still been really good. He just didn't have his power. Salvi's power is coming around. Jack Caglione still hasn't really done anything. Vinny's fine. I don't know. It's an impossible task to sit here and be predictive with this team. It really is. Like, I don't. Just hold steady, everybody. Enjoy these games each and every night because they're high intensity.
Well, yeah, not that their schedule doesn't let up really at all until after Independence Day. You know, you go into after this Rangers series, you head to San Diego. And then you're back at home, but you're taking on the Rays and you're taking on the Dodgers. And then you've got the Mariners on the road for another West Coast road trip and the Diamondbacks and all of that. It's not until July 7th when they get the Pirates at home that you can kind of feel like, okay, like they can let, you know, they can breathe a little bit. So you still got a few more weeks until that happens. Expectations with these really tough series with these types of teams. Honestly, I feel like with the way that we've seen them perform as of late, I think 500 baseball is a win. After this Rangers series, when you're talking about the Padres and then the Rays and the Dodgers, and then back on the West Coast again, I feel like honestly, 500 you ought to be kind of taking a look at. If it's better than that, then you take that as a bonus and you look ahead to after Independence Day to really try to be able to try to gain some ground a little bit in the American League. Again, as it relates to the trade deadline, at that point, you've really shortened down the length of time to really figure out what you're going to do with the deadline. If you're playing 500 baseball between now and July 7th, that doesn't give J.J. Piccolo a whole lot of time to really be able to decide, are you going to be buyers, are you going to be sellers, or are you going to stand pat?
Well, I mean, the good news is the deadline's not till the 31st. They're going to play a lot of games between now and the 31st. I mean, look, it's not unreasonable to say they shouldn't make a move right now. If the right move presented itself, I think you could. Seth Lugo was the guy that got brought up yesterday. They have 6 starting pitchers when Reagan's is back. If somebody blew the doors off of the organizations in an offer for Seth Lugo, in theory, you could trade Seth Lugo and still be a contender or still think of yourselves as a contender. It would certainly hurt your chances. But again, like if somebody's making you an, well, we can't turn that down kind of an offer, listen to the offer. Like you do, like that's fine, right? There's nothing wrong with that. They're not, that's, and that, that goes back to that reporting. I don't think the Royals are advocating to do anything right now. They shouldn't be. They should just play games. They have 45 days basically until the trade deadline. Just play these games out. We're going to have a real clear answer. I would imagine if this wild card race, Tommy, is this tight 45 days from now, I don't know what to tell you. Like that, be, I mean, good luck trying to figure out who's going to push their chips in and who's going to sit back. I don't know what would happen in that scenario. What's far more likely is that you get some separation. And what is right now, it would be, I mean, God, the Orioles are technically, Tommy, they're only six games out of the third wild card spot. The A's are eight. Like if you, let's take those three out, which is crazy to think about. The Royals are the 12th team right now in the playoff picture in the American League. They're 2.5 games out. There are 12 teams that aren't just maybe could be in it, but are like in it. There's not, if there's 12 in 45 days, I don't think there's any way. There's probably six or seven. And then it'll become real clear what the Royals need to do. They're going to be in a good position. Look, if they have to sell, it really, really sucks for this year. But man, they got some pieces they could really get something for. So let's just watch baseball for a while. Yeah. I don't know what, like.
I still think, as I sit here today, I think out of all the different scenarios with what they could potentially do or not do at the trade deadline, in my opinion, I think the least likely scenario is that they are sellers. At this point, I just don't see that, barring a really bad stretch of baseball over the next 2 weeks. I have a hard time thinking that they're just going to, it's going to be a fire sale and they're, I could see them maybe making some moves around the edges, around the margins. If it's like, hey, like you mentioned, the example of Seth Lugo. If a team comes in and they blow the doors off with some young talent in exchange for Seth Lugo, okay, like I could see a move like that happening. But when I think of the word, like when I think of the phrase of a team being a seller, to me that seems like unloading talent. And I have a hard time thinking the Royals are going to do that, because even if it's not this year, I think they've got a window, right?
They don't have a lot they can do it with. They can do it with Lugo. They can do it with Lorenzen. And they could probably do it with some bullpen pieces, as every team can year to year. They could get a haul, I think. But they're not inclined to do that yet. We'll see. Let's talk about the baseball side of it, because they had a really nice game last night. When we come back, we'll have Shreyas Lada later in the show. We'll have giveaways galore today. So stay tuned. Try and get you an update from the Wichita Open on how things are looking today as well. It's all coming for you. Don't go away. We're all rocking cast next.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this, what day is it? Wednesday, right? Hey, text for a chance to win some golf out at Crestview Country Club right now, 42 cart included. Text the keyword golf to the number 20357 to enter. One winner picked every Friday through June. You can enter once a day. Message and data rates apply. More details at kfhradio.com. It's been a very popular contest thus far. Congratulations to our winners and good luck to everybody who has not yet won and is still trying. Welcome back into Sports Daily. So, Tommy, we talked a lot about the Royals there, didn't talk a lot about the Royals there and what they did last night, but it was a big win. 6-1 winners over the Rangers. Seth Lugo was fantastic. He went six innings, really righted the ship, only three hits allowed, struck out nine guys in six innings. Bullpen was pretty solid, and the Royals get the win. They get the win. It's powered by Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, who each had home runs, who each had doubles. And those two coming along will wake things up if it happens. If they, you know, Salvi's back up to 240 after another 3-for-4 last night. His average is climbing. Bobby Witt Jr.'s at 282. He's still got a room to climb. As good as he is at other things he does, if those two can start driving in runs, that's sort of the last thing that needs to happen for this offense, right? We saw Benny Pasquantino come along. They got Jack Caglione called up. Now it's kind of on those two superstars to sort of do their thing, and they did last night.
Yeah, they did, and that's exactly where the Royals need to kind of have that kick in the pants offensively. They need the guys that their job in the lineup is to have the pop and to be able to drive in the runs and to be able to lead the offense. They need them producing, and I think one of the biggest issues offensively for this team from day one to now is that we've seen individual contributions from time to time. Vinny Pasquantino's been hot lately. There was a stretch where Salvi was heating up recently, and then even going back earlier in the season where it seemed like every time he was up to bat, he was hitting doubles. Bobby Witt Jr. has been, you know, had his individual stretches of offense and all of that, but they've not been able to put it all together where all of them have been able to be productive at the same time in the lineup. And that's really been what's been lacking offensively for this team. And when they can put it all together, when you've got multiple guys producing at the same time, that's when you get outputs like we saw last night. Again, it's one game. It's the opening game of the series. It was a much needed win, but it's one game in the series. It's been a big time struggle to see them be able to follow up a great performance offensively with another one.
Yeah. Look, it's odd because Bobby Wood Jr. is still having a nice season. Salvi has had 2-3 stretches where it looks like he's going to heat up, but he's kind of getting to the point where he's always been. He's on pace to sort of be where he has been, other than those years where he was, you know, like an MVP candidate. It just is, none of it's ever timed out for them. And if it could just time out for them, like that's what, back to the conversation in the last hour, like the pieces are there. Is there anybody on the planet that doesn't think they could put it together and be back in a great position? I don't think there is. The problem is that, you know, they're the timing and the schedule that they have to play. But, and it goes back to that question. If they perform the way they performed last night, what could they do over this stretch where you called it? Like they have no schedule relief basically until Independence Day. It's a lot of games, a lot of series. The Royals' best, the Royals' most consistent baseball is what over that stretch? You know, like if they come out of that stretch and they're a couple games over 500, honestly, I would say that's a pretty good outcome as they sit, what now, 3 games under 500 going into today. If they can make up 5 games on that, get 2-3 games over 500 by Independence Day, that's a pretty good outcome, I think. I think they're good enough to do that. Are they good enough to do what they did earlier in the season? Probably not. No. I mean, that's not realistic for this team, even if they are playing the way that they played last night in one game against the Rangers.
I think so, too. And again, it's a Rangers team that has... You want to talk about struggling offensively. I mean, it's been rough for them as well. And so this is, I think, even though the Rangers, I think we all know, and you know more about the Rangers than I do, while it's been disappointing, there's a good amount of talent on this roster, up and down the roster for the Rangers. It's a good team.
It's not playing well. Yeah.
I don't want to go so far to say that this series is an opportunity to get right for the Royals, because you're taking on a team that's got a good amount of talent. But it's not a team that has been able to translate that into a bunch of wins. And so can you use this, you know, 3 games and last night being the first one as a get right opportunity for the Royals? Sure you can. And you're going to need it to be a tune up, a little bit of a preview before the Padres and the Dodgers and all the other teams that are on their schedule coming up. So it's a prime opportunity. You mentioned in our last segment the importance of this team, you know, playing high intensity baseball and how every game has got sort of those implications with it. I think it starts with this series, even though you're looking at two teams that on paper are both below 500. No, there's a high amount of leverage in these games moving forward. I don't care if you're playing the Rangers or the Dodgers, you've got a high amount of leverage in all of these games.
How about this? after we watch the A's series and as we look at the schedule coming up ahead, what if it just doesn't matter who the Royals play? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if that's irrelevant? What if the Royals are going to do their thing, and if, you know, they're doing it well, they'll beat anybody, and if they're not, they'll lose to anybody? As a potential, it's probably good news if that's the case, right? As frustrating as it is to see them be swept by the A's and blow that opportunity, or lose 2 of 3 and almost be swept by the White Sox not that long ago. What if it just doesn't matter who they play? And they're playing themselves, more or less. That would be great news, because who they play coming up is not good. And I think it's possible. I mean, I do. I think it's possible. It's weird because, like, everything is timed together, like, for the streakiness. Maybe not quite as much as last year, but they all slumped together, and they can't seem this year to just time a heater together. But they did, right? That they have done that, because we saw that crazy win streak. I mean, you got to just feel good about things, and they get a chance now with Bubich going and with Michael Wacha going to win or sweep a series here. I don't know what the odds are, but I would imagine the Royals will be favored in probably both of these games. Let me just take a look at that here real quick as I say it out loud. They are tonight against Patrick Corbin, who's been a nice story. They are favored tonight. And we don't have a pitcher announced for the Rangers in the finale yet, so we won't know that. But I'll bet you they're favored in both of those games. Like, just go do your thing. Just play baseball. I mean, you've got Bobby Witt Jr., one of the 2 or 3 best players in the world on the planet. You got a Hall of Famer as your captain. You still got good starting pitching. Vinny Pasquantino's heated up. Poor Cags is going to just keep taking his lumps at the big league level. It's going to happen.
Probably not the worst thing. Probably not the worst thing in the world, though, for him.
No, it's fine. It was going to happen here, or it was going to happen in AAA, right? It was going to happen. He was going to have to learn how to make an adjustment. The chances of him coming up and being Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just swinging at everything and being a Hall of Fame, like, that was so not possible. Like, he hasn't had the time or the opportunity to change his approach at the minor league level. He just wasn't there long enough. So unfortunately for him, guess what? He gets to now do that at the big league level, but he still makes the offense better, in my opinion. Like, he's still a bigger threat than anything that they had there. And will be, and will continue to be a big threat there, because he has raw power, at least. At least he has that. And he's going to learn. He's either going to learn or he's not. Again, we never, like, to call him like a can't miss prospect, that was so unfair. We just was hitting the ball a million feet, so it got everybody excited. But he's not Bobby Witt Jr. Like, it's not the same thing as when Bobby got called up. This is a guy who we think could be really good, who happened to be the Royals' top prospect, who was on fire in the minor leagues. I don't think of it as anything else. Don't put any pressure on him, and let's see if he can learn how to be a big league hitter. I think he can, and I think he will be, but it's going to take some time, and he's not going to be the reason this offense sinks or swims. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino are going to be the reason this offense sinks or swims, and how much offense they can produce will be the reason for it. They've got the table setters there, although, you know, India's not there, but Mikel Garcia has been fantastic this year. And let's just go play some baseball with them. God, last week was frustrating. So frustrating.
Yeah, it was bad. It's a good thing that you were not on the show on Friday or Monday. I mean, it was a therapy session. It was, and you know, and Jalen Thompson, for that matter, we had him on Monday, and he's moving to Mondays now regularly on our show, but we had him on Monday, his article on Monday that came out, I think it might have been Sunday night, early Monday, in the Kansas City Star and the Wichita Eagle. The headline was, "Is this rock bottom for the Royals?" Like, that was a legitimate question. And so I don't think you can overstate the importance of last night's win. I know it's one game, and it's really difficult. You don't want to overreact to one game, but at the same time, they had to have that. I mean, they're calling players-only meetings. They're not hitting the ball. Saturday's game, and Jalen actually mentioned this, and I agree because I watched most of Saturday's game, was some of the most lifeless baseball I'd seen in a long time. we're starting to question, you know, whether or not Matt Quatrero is the right fit to lead this team moving forward because of some of his baffling decisions. And I think that what's interesting is that up until this point with the struggles, I feel like Matt Quatrero had largely escaped a lot of the criticism. But I think at that point, when you lose, you have a winless homestand against the Yankees and the A's, and some of the decision making, like pulling Noah Cameron after only five innings or whatever when he was pitching a gym, those things start to get called into question a little bit. And so they needed that last night just as a palate cleanser. Of course, you've got to move forward on that.
Yes,
you've got to move forward with it.
You got to let it build into something, though. You can't just let that be a one game aberration. You just can't. Bobby Witt Jr.'s back home in Arlington. Like, he's probably going to have a big series. He's going to rise to that occasion. He's going to have a lot of fans.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ends in that stadium. You don't waste the opportunity to heat up here. It's too early. I don't even know how to describe this season of Royals baseball. Is it frustrating? Maybe. Is it encouraging? I don't even know what the word would be to describe it as they sit a few games.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Teams under 500. Confusing. How about confusing? It's been a really confusing season. And now I think they have put themselves in a position for us to just enjoy whatever happens, yeah, or not enjoy it, or really despise it, right? But whatever it is, we've spent so much time trying to project what this team would be. Now it's just like, let's just see. Like, get out there. There's no rush to do anything anymore. Just play it out a little bit. And if the locker room can take on that attitude, maybe it'll lead to wins. We're gonna get some KU talk next hour. Other topics, and we'll get you an update on how things look out of the Wichita Open. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/officialrules.